2 Peter 3, from verse 3 to verse 7. Peter continues. He urges his readers, he urges us, to wholesome thinking. Thinking straight. And he moves on to this. Verse 3. First of all, you must understand. He wants us to think properly. Wholesome. Good. Thoughts. And the first thing we must understand, we must think and reason out and remember and apply, is that in the last days, scoffers will come. Now, the last days does not mean the last few hours of this age, the last week or two of this age. The last days, and you can prove it by checking the references to the last hour, the last days, and so on, the latter times, and so on. You can check the references, and you will see that the last days refers to the entire age from Pentecost until the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the gospel age. It's this age now. You must understand that the course of this age, says Peter, fix this in your mind. That this age will be characterized by this. There will be scoffers, mockers, ridiculers. And the particular point that they will fix on is this. They will scoff about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will mock believers for their assertion that Christ is coming, bringing in the final judgment, and all men will have to appear before him. And these scoffers will come. They will be there. And of course, history is replete with it, mocking and laughing and dismissing the idea that God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will come again. Christ will come again. The judgment will come in. And it will be the end of this age. Peter says you must understand that this will go on. Don't get frightened or alarmed or disturbed or put out when you hear and meet this. It's bound to be. And understand this also, that these men are following their own evil desires. They have an agenda. I'll look at that in a moment. Let's listen to what they say. He tells us what they say, and he tells us what makes them tick. What they say is, where is this coming? Note the dismissive, this coming. He promised. Who's he? Our Lord and Savior. He promised, did he not? And the apostles have confirmed it. And reissued it again and again. Christ is coming again. Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died. Look, it's all fuddy-duddy stuff, this. Everything goes on since the beginning of creation. Uniformity principle. Nothing changes. Oh, dear, dear, dear. It's like Khrushchev and the Russian cosmonauts. We haven't found God in our rockets. No, you were looking in the wrong direction with the wrong glasses. No, everything's going on the same, you know. But Peter tells us what makes them tick. They come to this scoffing. They issue these laughing, mocking remarks because of their own agenda, he says. They deliberately, willfully, defiantly choose to forget. Forget what? That God in history has intervened remarkably on various occasions. Peter picks on two here. They deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. What does he say? God said, let there be. And it was, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be. God's fiat. There was not, and then there was. God intervened. The same with the flood. God drowned the world by his word. And so argues Peter, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. This is what these scoffers deliberately reject and forget and will not think about. God created. God condemned and drowned the world in judgment. And he will come again in Christ and judge the world, end this present age, dissolve the creation, and bring in the new heavens and the new earth, and will judge all men and bring them into everlasting destruction, damnation. This they don't want to remember. And this is what makes them tick. Why do they argue for this uniformity principle? I can hear the echoes of evolution theory here. Why do they argue for this uniformity principle? The scoffing, deliberate rejection of Christ's word, the apostolic word. Because they want to deny the existence of God. They want to deny not only his existence, but of course they don't want a sovereign, omnipotent God. Thirdly, it will interfere with their own self. They want to be self-masters, self-controlling. They want to be controlling events themselves. They want to be in charge. And of course, they don't like the idea of judgment. That's why evolutionary theory is so popular and powerful. It gets rid of this sovereign God and this judgmental aspect of the gospel. There is evolution, there is no God, there is no judgment. We can do what we like. And we are omnipotent, not this so-called God. Where is this promise? Where is it all coming to? But they're working on this secret. What is it, secret? This internal agenda. Following their own evil desires. Deliberately forgetting, suppressing the truth. God has intervened in the past. Creation. The flood, the exodus, the incarnation, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, Pentecost. God has intervened time and again, and he will come again with this great and final intervention, the coming of Christ. The heaven and the earth will be dissolved in fire. The new heavens and the new earth will be formed. And all men, yes, my friend, all men and women will have to appear before God. Whoever's listening to me now, and I include myself, we all one day will have to appear before this God. He will say, he will call us. It may be by death. It may be in the final resurrection with Christ. It will certainly be that. But it may be by death before that, taking us out of this world. But God will intervene in our lives, and then Christ will come, and we shall have to appear before him. I warn you, unbeliever, you will stand before God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But the gospel is now telling you, Christ is telling you in the gospel, the Spirit is telling you in the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon his name, turn from your sins, cry out for mercy, the blood of Christ will wash you from your sins. And all will be well in that day. You will be found in Christ. Bold shall I stand in that great day. For no one can lay anything to my charge once I'm in Christ. For I have passed from death to life. And I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's only for those who believe in the Lord Jesus and on and trust in him, rely upon the Lord Jesus. Do it now, I plead with you. Brother and sister, let us not get waylaid or disturbed by scoffers and mockers. Let's see what they're about. Why the atheists are so strong. Of course, it gets rid of this God and this judgment. But they're whistling in the wind and in the dark. They deliberately forget God's interventions in the past. And he will, Christ will come. And the end will be there. Of course, it's a puzzle to us. This long, long age. I remember John Bunyan said of it 350 years ago. And of course I've got 350 years longer now to be concerned over. But still the promise stands. First of all, you must understand. And I must think about this. I mustn't get waylaid by these scoffers, distracted by them. Things do not continue on the same. There have been these tremendous interventions by God. And there will be this great final intervention. Be ready for it. Unconverted, be ready by trusting Christ. Believer, let us go on laboring in the gospel, pulling as many as we can out of the burning while there is still time. It's the kept. This creation is being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. It's not just the creation, is it? It's us, men and women. Let us be ready for that great day. First of all, let us understand these principles. Scoffers and their end.